glorious day. It mixes two beautiful and very feel-good parts of Christianity. One being the forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And then Jesus' glorious return. And among Christians, I know there's an awful lot of different theological statements people make about atonement, about the return of Christ. The song is just beautiful. And it looks forward to something new because God is always creating something new. It's not all that unlike the old camp song, the campfire song, the Christian Sunday school camp song, "I've Been Redeemed." I don't know if you remember that one. It goes, "I've been redeemed." Then there's a repeat. "By the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed." That flavor of God saving. That flavor of God saving was a... It's been explored throughout culture. I mean, not just in church. That movie, "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" which is a brilliant movie. It's 16 years old now, and it's still brilliant. One of the characters, love him, Delmar. Delmar O'Donnell gets baptized, and this is where the famous version of "Wade in the Water" comes on. Or no, not "Wade in the Water." "I went down to the river to pray." Beautiful. Bluegrassy. We've sung it in church before, too. It's just beautiful. And Delmar in the song, he gets baptized and he figures, that's it. I've been redeemed. He even says it, "Well, that's it, boys. I've been redeemed. The preacher done washed all my sins away. It's the straight and narrow from here on out, and heaven's everlasting reward. Preacher says all my sins are washed away, and that includes the Piggly Wiggly I knocked over in Yazoo." And then his brother Everett says, "I thought you said he was innocent of those charges." Not his brother, this is Everett, the George Clooney character. Right? Or maybe it's his, I don't remember. But Delmar says, "Well, I was lying." And the preacher says, "That sin's been washed away too. Neither God nor man's got nothing on me now. Come on in, boys, the water is fine." Is that cheap grace? Was he figuring wrong? Because, you know, everyone makes mistakes, right? Most of us make really big mistakes in our lives. Some people make even worse mistakes. And some do things that they are sure that are unforgivable. And they're not. You might be wondering, is what Delmar said is true? Are you saying that people who commit crimes shouldn't have to go to jail? Are you saying that people should try to do bad because it'll be forgiven anyway? "Let sin so that grace may abound," attributed to Martin Luther and Paul in some contexts. Are you saying that what people do doesn't matter? No, I just simply said that those things are not unforgivable. They're forgivable. Everything's forgivable. I know people have debates over the unforgivable sin. Really? No such thing. Or do you believe that? Some people hurt others. Some people abuse others, bully others, do unspeakable things to others. Sometimes they're not caught. And we might say, well, God will get them for that. They'll get their just desserts. Yeah, they'll get what's coming to them. And sometimes they do get caught and we want to throw the book at them. Send them to jail forever. Send them to jail for the rest of their lives. Execute them. We go through those emotions and say, do that. And I guess, not justified. I can understand the anger that goes with that. I've talked about how much I loathe manipulation. What do I loathe even more? People who hurt other people, especially on purpose. Then there's the other sins that we can get forgiven for. I'm going to call those the churchy rules, like going to church every Sunday, not going to the bars, not smoking, not doing all of those things. You know, the I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the ones that do kind of thing, following those churchy rules. Those are rules that we've kind of set up for ourselves. And I recognize that doing harm, you know, if you do stuff that harms yourself or harms others in ways like that, if you're a smoker and there's secondhand smoke or whatever it is, I recognize that that's not a great a great thing. But it's kind of also one of those, well, we don't need to get everything all riled up because we don't like everything this person does. It's not the same. We can go with the theology and say sin is all the same, but it's not the same when someone tells a white lie or when someone does something that you just don't think is right. How dare they? And then there are cases of forgiveness that you never expected to happen. Either you've done something or you see what someone else has done. Maybe you remember 10 years ago, Charles Roberts held 15 girls captive inside an Amish schoolhouse. He had 3 guns, and he had this twisted sense of vengeance toward God for allowing his newborn daughter to die 9 years prior. And during that time, Charles opened fire, killing 5 of the girls and himself. And this Amish community, including family members of those who died, demonstrated an incredible act of forgiveness by attending Robert's funeral and comforting his widow. And they offered financial support to support Robert's widow. That's extreme forgiveness, and I don't think I could do that. But there's an example of a community that did that. I look at that and I say, well, he's getting what's coming to him. It's not a very Christian position, but someone who hurts someone like that, someone who causes such devastation, such tragedy, such evil, and this community came together and offered forgiveness. And instead of shunning the widow, offered financial support, recognizing grief. This is the 15th anniversary of 9/11. I remember I was working at St. Matthew United Church of Christ just in Wheaton when the attacks happened. And I remember the Sunday right after, senior pastor there, he preached a sermon that focused on peace and forgiveness and kindness and somehow trying to understand but not understanding, but still with this focus of how do we live as Christians in a world where evil like this exists? How do we offer forgiveness? Can we offer forgiveness? It's a beautiful sermon. And after church, I remember how sad it made me to hear, not everyone, but a few people talking to him and then writing letters saying, how dare you? How dare you talk about peace and forgiveness? You ought to be talking about getting those people. You ought to be talking about retaliation and revenge. That's sometimes how Christians act, isn't it? Not all of us, I pray not most of us, but you see it, and I've talked about that before. How do we live for peace and forgiveness and kindness in a world where murder is present, in a world where terrorism is present, in a world where such evil things happen, are done? Now let me shift gears just a little bit. What's the worst thing that you've ever done? I'm sure it's not those. I don't know what it is, though. We've all done the worst thing. And what's the worst thing you've ever been forgiven for? Or the worst thing that you've ever forgiven someone for? So, folks, what we do, how we act, how we treat others, it does matter. Of course it does. Treating people as if they matter and attending to one another, recognizing the value of each person, is the best any of us can do. But every one of us is going to screw up. And we're all going to do things sometimes that other folks will think are just wrong. And we need to give each other a break. We need to continually realize that what we think isn't what the whole world needs to think. Maybe a great example is how people reacted to 9/11. Maybe a great example is how people are acting in this political season where we're electing local people, state level, national level, president. We need to continually realize that what we think isn't what the whole world needs to think. It doesn't mean that we don't stand up for justice. Excuse me. It means that we recognize that our opinion is not the only one. And in doing that, we err. We err on the side of love. We err on the side of not telling others what they can or can't do, but having the wisdom to know that showing love is most important, and definitely more important than being right. It doesn't mean that we have to just simply forgive everyone who has done wrong. And you know, sometimes we use the word forgiveness as a weapon when someone has been wronged, someone has been abused, and churches are very guilty of this, telling the person who has been abused, you need to forgive that person. Well, maybe they're not ready to, and maybe they'll never be ready to. They definitely need to let go of the pain and the poison that it has caused them. But I'm not so sure that just forgiving like that, because the Christian folks said you had to, is a healthy thing for people. Yeah, the preacher just said that. I don't understand it all, but I do recognize that if we use any of the things that Christianity teaches us, love, forgiveness, goodness, kindness, if we use it as weapons to harm somebody, then it's not a good thing. If we use it as weapons to try to keep someone who has done harm from having to be accountable, then it's not a good thing. So it doesn't mean we have to simply forgive everyone who's done wrong, because there is accountability. People commit awful crimes. Rapists who think they can just get away with it. Murderers who do get away with it. We're all accountable for our actions. So let's live following the rule of treating all as if we want to be treated. You know that one. That's the golden rule. And it's not just present in Christianity and Judaism. It's present in every major religion, some form of that. And let's work so that is always happening. Those who harm others, of course, have to be held accountable and not given opportunities to harm others anymore. Yes, we have to remember that. We have to remember that we got to stop victim shaming. That's really the forgiveness power, or the dark side of that. When you tell someone they have to, there's a shaming in that. Don't you think you need to forgive them? I mean, aren't you partly responsible? No, you're not responsible for that. We have to stop any kind of victim shaming. Erring on the side of love is about keeping folks safe, not letting those who harm others keep on doing it. And also, we do have to remember to give ourselves a break when we make mistakes. We have to be kind, be generous, love all, give other folks a break too. And I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. Can you recognize the difference between someone who harms somebody and not letting them just off the hook, and giving each other a break for saying something in the wrong tone of voice, or not quite doing it right, or not bringing the right thing to the potluck dinner, or not showing up to church on time, or not being able to do something that everyone thinks you're supposed to do? We got to give ourselves and others a break. So here's the reading from 1 Timothy 1:12 to 17 again. This time it's from the Message paraphrase. I love that paraphrase, and you hear me often read from it in sermons. I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do this work. He went out on a limb, you know, entrusting me with this ministry. The only credentials I brought to it were invective and witch hunts and arrogance. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me, and all because of Jesus. Here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from sheer mercy. And now he shows me off, evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. Let's not hold on to anger and a desire for vengeance. That's not healthy. Let's also not spend all of our energy reliving our mistakes. That's not healthy either. Let's remember. Let's be a people who look forward in love, look forward paying attention to one another. Let's be a people of grace, a people of love. Folks, that is a sign of a people growing.